And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is a tumultuous Tuesday. It is the 16th day of July, 2013. I'm Doug Hagman. I'm the co-host, along with my son, Joe Hagman, together in studio. We are the Hagman and Hagman Report. Truly, I think, the father-son investigator team on the radio, on the internet. Folks, you're in for about 3 hours of unbiased, uncensored news, analysis, and information you need to know in these perilous times. I want to say hello to some very special people. I want to say hello to JNC out of Fredericksburg, Texas, as well as H&R. These are your first names, or initials of your first names, out of Meade, Washington. R&E from Barboursville, Virginia. Bless you, folks. Also, our friends from Warren, Ohio. Bless you as well. And certainly, the from Lyman, South Carolina, checking in today, and I just want to say thank you for your prayers, your support, your assistance, your just being great people with the Hagman and the Hagman Report. For new listeners, folks, we broadcast live each weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Our home base on the internet is HomelandSecurityUS.com, and I'm going to give a nod to our neighbors to the north, Canada Free Press. .com. That's CanadaFreePress.com. One of the best people up there with respect to the news, the internet news, that you can find anywhere on the internet. And I want to say also that we're broadcasting simulcast as well on the Christians United Broadcasting Network, or via the Christians United Broadcasting Network. We're also on Justin TV as well. That's via CBN. If you go to Justin TV, you can hear live streaming in clear, very clear live streaming in real time. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Thank you for your belief and your trust in us as we walk through what we're facing together.
Yeah, yesterday we had a very great show. We were joined by Josh Tully, Josh Tully Show. And for those of you who missed that interview, go back to the archives or to iTunes and download that interview, as it was a must-listen, I would say. I was very happy with him coming on, and even happier as the show progressed and we got into some very important and interesting topics that are not usually touched upon on talk radio. So I want everybody to go back and listen to that broadcast. Today we do have a bunch of headlines, a number of headlines. We have no guests scheduled for today, as we wanted to keep the show open so we could talk a little bit, get into some of the news, and hear from you guys. I think we should have the show to calls, as we've had yesterday a hard time. There was troubles with BTR getting their call situation together.
Hey, Joe, before you get into that, too, if you want to hear what we really, really, really honestly sound like, and I'm serious about this, if you want to hear some of our archives, what we really sound like, via Justin TV, into the studio quality. Folks, go to HagmanandHagman.com, HagmanandHagman.com. The Justin, the feed from last night from Josh Hawley is up there. In fact, the whole show is up there. And listen to that. Listen to the quality of that. It's fabulous. It's HagmanandHagmanReport.com.
It's taken from our blog talk stream, and Troy does a fantastic job with equalizer, putting the sound, basically making it sound professional and like it should sound.
Right, and the stream shows are also at SoundCloud.com. If you just search for Hagman and Hagman, that's SoundCloud.com. So we've got several points of, or several ways where you can listen to the broadcast and hear the clear, the the very clear audio that we have. So just want to give those. Of course, you have to listen, with the exception of Justin TV, Christian United Broadcast Network. That's you'd have to listen to the archives, but Justin TV is live. So there you have that. But boy, we have news to get into today. I want to before we get into the news, right before the show, this is something that we had talked about yesterday, and this is something that I wrote an article about. It's at CanadaFreePress.com and also on SecurityUS.com. It's about what we need to do, how we need to, or how we can, as individuals. And I'm going to speak to really the Tea Party members right now. And I know we have Tea Party members who listen to us. I'm going to speak to you folks right now. Do you realize, Tea Parties, you have been given a gift from God by not, or by being turned away or delayed or otherwise had your applications for your 501c3s or whatever you were attempting to delayed, or in other words, let's say you filed for a 501c3 and not get it for 9 months or a year or year and a half or whatever, essentially, or you have been audited because of your actions, or you have the information that you are one of the, I guess it's 175 different organizations that had their civil rights violated because, or their rights violated because of the actions of our government. That speaks to the article that was written, 2 days ago. That's on CanadaFreePress.com and HomeSecurityUS.com about what we need to do right now. And that speaks to the civil RICO suit. Folks, people are making too much of this. I know I'm repeating myself, but it's necessary because, again, we've got new listeners, and I know that there are some Tea Party listeners listening to this broadcast right now, Tea Party members. If you have been wronged by the IRS, and I'm just using the IRS as one of several examples, you have been given, truly been given a gift by God, because we have, or you have, the very simple ability to file a civil action using RICO through an attorney. So in other words, you can bypass the Holder Justice Department. You can bypass all of this other stuff holding you up. You don't have to wait for a special prosecutor to be appointed. You don't have to wait for any of this bunk. You can file in your own court. Well, just grab an attorney who's willing to, who understands the RICO law, the Racketeering Influence Corrupt Organizations law, and who's willing to take your case. And or shouldn't, I mean, because of the triple damages awarded to the victors of such cases, you should not have that big of a problem finding a law firm that'll take your case. You get a lawyer, and you file a civil action under the RICO statute. It is that simple. You don't have to wait for any congressman. You don't have to wait for any. You're not subjected to any of the tyrannical aspects of the federal judiciary, the Department of Justice. You can actually do this in a civil setting. And what'll happen is, when you do this in a civil setting, you are actually going after the very agents, not the agency, but the agents of the IRS who turned you down or who otherwise prevented you from proceeding with your 501c3 status, or who gave you the trouble with respect to answering certain questions or impeded your progress. If you understand, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm talking, again, specifically to the members of the Tea Party or those victimized by the IRS, if you understand the simplicity behind this and the fact that this is really a truly the only way to expedite, and I mean expedite, this suit against the people who have done you wrong. Sounds like a country western song, doesn't it? the civil RICO action is the way to go. It's simple. It bypasses the holder Justice Department. You demand, if it ever gets to that point, a trial of your peers. Or you make sure that this goes before a jury trial. That would be up to the law firm that represents you. But the fact of the matter is, it is not that difficult. Once again, if persons in positions of trust and operating under the color of authority, if they misuse their job or if they misuse their office to deprive you of your civil, personal, or business rights, you can sue for damages. And the result of such a suit is to bring into the light of the identity of the perpetrators, and not only those people, but the people who have told them, instructed them, supervised them to stop you from proceeding your filings. Okay? And believe me, that's the beauty of RICO. The beauty of it is its surgical precision. You go after, in the IRS cases, the very specific agents who denied or delayed a proper processing of a filing for tax exempt status. Because that obviously had both a direct economic impact and damages to the filing party and violated the filer's civil rights, which will cost real money to correct. So, also, during the discovery process, and this is another beautiful part of this, specific agents who engaged in this in the criminal acts or were motivated politically could very well, and believe me, they almost certainly will, identify their superiors who directly handled or supervised or superintended or directed their actions. We follow the trail where it comes to the very end, pull out into the light of day each and every one of the offending parties and the documentation that accompanied their actions. Is how simple this is. We cannot, folks, please don't make this harder than what it is. We need to get the Tea Parties to file a RICO action, a civil RICO action. We need to find law firms, and it's not one representing the entire, we'll say there's, we know, I think, 175 different affected parties. It's not one representing 175. It doesn't have to be. It can be one representing each one of the 175 or 200 or however many there are, and eventually they can be tied together or not. But the fact of the matter is, it's so simple. Because remember, in this country, the land of America, anyone can sue anybody, okay? In this case, this is the beauty of the civil RICO action. If you understand its simplicity and its very sharp, precise cutting effect, you will understand why I'm saying this and why I'm saying that this is the only way to go. Folks, we are running out of time. The black cloud of oppression is rolling over this country in such the horses are galloping, the dust cloud is coming. We need to do this right away. If you have any questions, if you are a Tea Party member and you want to do this, folks, we will help you do this. We will help you. We will guide you. So the listeners to this program, send an email. You go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, click on my name on the left side of the column, send me an email. We'll get the ball rolling here. We don't have enough time. This is why we get paid the big bucks, Joe. Kind of, sort of, not really.
Big bucks?
Big. No, seriously, this is why.
Is that why I have my 1998 Pontiac Bonneville? Nice,
hey, that's
polished.
A good car.
I know it. I wouldn't get rid of it if I won the lottery tomorrow.
And I got to tell you, too, the beauty part of that is the double-sided tape that you have holding the what's that, hood lining, I guess, or interior lining up there, and it falls. When it gets hot, it falls, and it's on your head, so you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden you get this liner, hood liner coming down.
It gets old looking for somebody to pay for somebody to give an inspection with the lick stickers.
Exactly.
But
anyway, the bottom line, I just want to finish this, folks. It's a civil RICO action. It's very, very simple. It's the only way right now that we've got, because a special prosecutor, who's going to appoint that but somebody political? Congress, how's that working out for us? It's not. They've been compromised. The only way to circumvent all of this is through a civil RICO suit. And please, if you're a Tea Party member, if you've been aggrieved, if you're one of the parties that were held up under the tax-exempt status, please get a hold of me. We will put you in the proper direction, and I guarantee you that this will be, you will see this as really a gift from God, because we have an opening here. It's the window is open. It's not that big, but nonetheless, it's an opening. It's the only opening. It's the only escape hatch that we've got right now. Right now. We've got to do it right now. Don't delay, folks. This is the most important thing we can do. And we'll do it with you. We'll do it for you. Well, not do it for you. We'll do it with you. We'll help you. We'll guide you. And I just want to say that we need to do it immediately. This regime is scared to death of the civil RICO filings. They are scared to death because they know they cannot control the outcome. They can't control the process. That's the issue. So I just want to open the show with that. Joe, we have Middle East news. We've got economic news. We've got a whole bunch of news. You did a lot of research today.
And I played the clip before the show started, so I know that this play, at least half of it, this is out of Fox News. U.S. silent as Christians are persecuted in Egypt. Obama supports the Muslim Brotherhood. It's about a five-minute clip. Here it is.
Well, a new outcry calling attention to the ongoing persecution of Christians in Egypt. We've been tracking reports for months about the targeting of Christian churches, businesses, and individuals there. Now Amnesty International calling for an end to the violence and demanding that Egyptian president and leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, Mohamed Morsi, step up and take action to protect the Christians living in Egypt. They're called Coptic Christians. They make up the largest religious minority group in that country. Joining me now to discuss it, Ralph Peters. He's author of the book Hell or Richmond and also a Fox News strategic analyst. And Judith Miller is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, author, and Fox News contributor, and she has just returned from a trip to Egypt. She got back on Friday. So thank you both so much for being here. Now, I want to start with this, because this made the wires yesterday, but we were not able to independently confirm this reporting by quote, Mideast Christian News, that claimed that Islamic hardliners had stormed a mosque in suburban Cairo and turned it into a torture chamber for Christians. Judy, we just can't confirm whether that is true or it's not true, but what we do know is true is that there's a history in this country, in Egypt, of anti-Christian sentiment, and so far, Mohamed Morsi, who's supposed to be, you know, the head of a new era in Egypt, has done very little to stop it.
Absolutely, Megan. I can't confirm that individual report either. I think the thing to keep in mind is that Christians are particularly vulnerable to the overall situation in Cairo, which is one of enormous instability. The problem for President Morsi is that his police won't turn out, no one will provide security, and therefore the most vulnerable groups, such as Christians and women who are unaccompanied, are particularly subject to violence and vigilante attacks. So yes, Christians are taking the brunt of the general insecurity, but the real problem for Egypt right now is a lack of security.
That is what what Amnesty International is pointing to, Ralph. They're saying that tensions are back on the rise again. I mean, it's never been great for Christians in Egypt, but they're saying tensions are back on the rise again, and they're saying that in this one district where there was a question about whether a Muslim woman who had been who's being hidden by Christians, maybe she wanted to convert, and all these people were shouting, let the Christians die from fear, today your sister, tomorrow your wife, and so on, and businesses were shut down, Christian businesses, and so on. All these folks who wanted to go and complain and say, that this is why are we having to live this way? These Christians were told, Don't complain. We're not even going to write down your report, said the police, and told the complaints will only serve to ignite the tensions further. You better just learn to deal with it.
Well, certainly Christians are being driven out all across the Middle East. It's not just Egypt. In Iraq, well, the world looked away. 2/3 of 1.5 million Christians were driven out. They're going to be persecuted in Syria. They've been driven out of the Palestinian territories. And now you see it in Egypt. And I'm sure Judy Miller, who's one of our great journalists, when she was in Cairo, went to the Coptic Quarter, where the Christians live. It's a shabby slum. They were always third class, not second class, third class citizens. And I'll just tell you this, Megan. If the Muslim Brotherhood, the most powerful force after the military in today's Egypt, wanted to crack down on the persecution of Christians, they could do it. But they're letting the Salafists and other extremists do the dirty work for them, because their dream, too, is of religious cleansing, of a pure Islamic Middle East.
Mm-hmm. That we saw in 2011, the clashes that saw tanks literally running down Christians in the streets in Egypt. And here we are now, 2013, Judy, and you say the real fear, even today, is of the future. What will Mohamed Morsi do? What will the Muslim Brotherhood do if they continue to consolidate power in that country?
Well, that's the...
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard, and we deliberately cut that sound at that point, cut that clip at that point. Here's the situation in Egypt. You heard at the onset of that clip where the hardliners, now we have to kind of translate this a little bit, the hardliners turning a mosque into essentially a torture chamber for Christians. You've got the Muslim Brotherhood, which is supported by the United States and overseen by Morsi, the man that Obama, Jarrett, and formerly Clinton wanted in office, running these torture chambers of mosques. They can't confirm it. Doggone better well know they have confirmed it. And it's not one mosque. It's just about all of the mosques under their control. And the targets here are Christians, or let me be a little bit more precise. They're non-Muslims. Now, see, here's the other part of the equation. As the Obama regime decides to say, well, okay, we're going to let this go. Look what's happening in Central America right now. Look what's happening in the streets of Colombia. Now, there are articles out there where you can find this, but in Colombia, for example, Middle Eastern images and sounds are common in the streets of the busy free trade zone. And this area is home to Colombia's largest Muslim population. It's a very congested area, but in a location that's near the desert border with Venezuela, there are various outposts there where beneath the apparent legitimate businesses, there is this undercurrent of terrorist financing that connects, by the way, to it connects to not only to what's going on in Central America, but it also has its over in the Middle East. You see, when AQIM, which is part of the Al-Qaeda, that group was part of the Benghazi situation, there were money and drugs that were being funneled to and from South America, from Northern Egypt or Northern Africa. Well, this has drifted in Central America, specifically Venezuela and Colombia in that area, and you've got this whole big enterprise now, from torture in Egypt to drug financing to people being kidnapped. This one big enterprise that is being that's actually going all across the southern hemisphere and the northern hemisphere from Egypt, from North Africa, into Venezuela, into Colombia, into South America, into Central America. The United States, by their actions, Obama, by his actions, through their consultations to Obama, they have abandoned the Christians. There is a war against Christianity. The terrorists are emboldened by this. The financing is overt. The torture is overt. This is not just in Egypt. This is taking place all over. Well, and just about all over the world, I want to say, where there's a significant or a large Muslim population, where the demographics are largely Muslim.
It doesn't even have to do with Muslim. It has to do with people in positions of power, even in the more third world countries that don't have anything to do really with if it's Muslims versus Christians. It is the slaughterers versus Christians. It is the militias that want to, the drug runners, as in Mexico, the militias in Southern American countries and people who want to attain level of power always seek out the weakest to terminate for whatever reason. Usually there is not a reason behind it other than evil lurks behind the scenes. But this is the world that we live in.
Exactly. No, you're exactly correct. And there's even an Iranian connection to this as well. If you look at all of the Muslim groups, though, and I understand your point, because you're going the strongest to the weakest, but against the weakest. But if you look at all of these connections, I've got to say this, according to my research, once America pulled the support away from the Christians, we'll say in Africa, or got involved in with the Muslim Brotherhood, as Obama has done, everything has turned to chaos. Now, was that by design or was that an accident? I say it was by design. And that leads us directly into, Joe, something that I talked about right before the program began. And we were talking with a source about this, someone who knows exactly what's going on in the Middle East. You pulled the headline where Russia is holding the biggest war games in decades. For example,
yeah.
This is from CNS News. But what's behind it's important. But go on.
Yeah, I'll get into this article. Then you get into what was talked about with the source right before the show. Putin, president of Russia, watched Russia's biggest military maneuvers since Soviet times involving 160,000 troops and about 5,000 tanks across Siberia in the far eastern region in a massive show of the nation's resurgent military might. Dozens of Russian Pacific Fleet ships and 130 combat aircraft also took part in the exercise, which began Friday and continued through this week. Putin watched some of the drills on Sakhalin Island in the Pacific, where thousands of troops were freighted and airlifted from the mainland. Russia's Deputy Defense Minister Antonov assured military attaches on Monday that the exercise was part of a regular combat training and was not directed against any particular nation, though some analysts believe the show of force was aimed at China and Japan. But that doesn't make much sense. But it goes on to say that Russia and Japan have had a dispute over a group of Pacific islands in which Russia calls the Kurils, Japan calls the Northern Territories. The islands off the northwest tip of Japan's Hokkaido Island were seized by Soviet troops in the closing days of World War II. They were surrounded by rich fishing grounds and are believed to have offshore oil and natural gas reserves and other mineral resources.
I take it that's my cue, right?
It is your cue, yes.
All right. Okay, folks, let me take you back in time, just a few days. How about 11 days? U.S. officials reportedly confirmed that Israeli fighter jets on July 5th bombarded a Syrian arsenal containing advanced Russian-made anti-ship missiles. Well, the July 5th strike, folks, you remember that, where at first no one knew what happened except a battery of missiles just went up, bang, boom. It was like the 4th of July on the 5th, I guess, a battery of Syrian missiles. Well, what happened? And now we see, as Joe is making reference to, where Russia is holding some of the biggest war games in quotes, in decades. What's going on? According to the source that knows just about everything, if I have a question about what's going on in the Middle East, I ask this individual. Well, Putin and Netanyahu met in June. But before they had, they met in June, and Putin made it very, very clear, if Israel did anything whatsoever to hit any place in Syria or to mess with Syria, that Putin would make sure that they would respond directly. Now, having said that, let's advance to July 5th of this year. There was a missile battery taken out in Syria. What happened? No one knew. Well, you see, what happened was Israel had used a very sophisticated weapon that was fired against this missile battery. And Joe, you heard the conversation. And no one knew exactly what happened. Until what? Until Obama threw Israel under the bus and said, no, it was Israel. They used this type of weapon. And that's the way it is. Why? Why would the United States throw Israel under the bus like that? They are doing the bidding for Saudi Arabia. They need to have chaos over there. They need to be involved in the world, to start World War III. Don't forget, Benghazi was all about starting World War III. Well, let's just say, moving the chess pieces around to start World War III, is there was that weapons funneling up to Syria via Turkey.
And we named the show today Doom Distraction. And this was done for a reason. We have all been seeing if you go to Drudge, see the continuous, nonstop stories, repeating stories of the Zimmerman narrative, the headlines there. I do have an important clip on that from Eric Holder and his reaction and what he plans to do, taking on the case personally and saying as much as Obama is not taking it personally. But regardless of that, they are, and Drudge included in this, have gone beyond what I believe is news coverage into poking the bear, we should say, drumming up human emotions, looking for a reaction. I know that there's been some pockets of unrest and some crimes that have led to death as a result of this verdict, according to those who were found to be committing the acts. But feeding into this frenzy, if you look at Drudge, more than half of the headlines on there are about the Zimmerman case. It's done and over with. Let it go. You didn't get the riot you wanted to. You didn't get the people out there rioting, burning down their own cities, killing their own brothers and sisters, each other. You really want it bad? You're just going to keep on throwing coals into that fire that's trying to be extinguished? That people are reporting, even here on Clips on Drudge, you know, this was made race, this is not about race, this is racist. Who cares? It's over. The verdict is done with. Now, I don't remember, I was young when OJ was on trial. I don't remember seeing a reaction to a verdict. I mean, you would think this was the president who was going through this, the way the media is reacting to this. They are feeding into this emotional weakness humans have of dividing each other against lines of color, lines of class.
But you know what? I don't mean to interrupt your intellectual stream, and I mean that sincerely, but let me just say this. The mainstream media, if it bleeds, it leads, and if there is the scent of blood in the air, I believe that the mainstream media We'll jump on that and to magnify it. But most importantly, what you said earlier, the distraction behind it. But even more important than the distraction, and folks, I believe that we really, really need to take a look at this. The Justice Department, the Holder Justice Department, they are backing this little-known agency called the Community Relations Service, or CRS for short. The Holder Justice Department describes it as a peacemaker group for community conflicts, anything over civil rights and race. So what they are doing is the Holder Justice Department is doing is they are financing the CRS or Community Relations Service. These groups, in fact, one filing from late March was about $700 in expenses. So people from Washington could be deployed to Sanford to work marches, demonstrations, and rallies related to the shooting and the death of an African-American teen by a neighborhood watch captain. This is being sponsored in totality by the Holder Justice Department with the imprimatur and under the supervision and being superintended by the Obama regime, if you will. So that's where the attention should be paid, not to anything else. It's that needs to be looked at. What's the DOJ's role in this, Joe? The Community Relations Service, the taxpayers are funding this.
Aside from that, let's put that aside for a minute. We know that the executive branch, as we stated before, and this is more of a truth to me now, and I'm sure it is to many, that they are basically actors in a movie. They're given a script, they follow it. And that can be proven through the rhetoric of Obama in the campaigns versus his acts as president, also with Bush, also with Clinton, also, I mean, it goes back as long as can be. They are placeholders.
All right.
Continuity of agenda. The agenda is the same, regardless of the people in leadership. Now, if we understand that, we understand that they're not actually responsible. The people who are creating the policy, the think tanks behind the scenes, whatever groups or influences are there, when we know there are many, the international ones, like the UN, the World Health Organization, World Trade Organization, IMF, these are the bigger ones, the bigger think tanks, either the CFR or the Bilderberg Group. These international cabals of banker, businessmen to royalty and rich people set policy in a certain way, up these actors or placeholders to carry out their policy. So I would even say if the people in the DOJ, if the people in the executive branch enjoy doing what they're doing, it is their idea. Now that said, the way that this Zimmerman thing really bothering me is because they are provoking. It's one thing to have all the hype beforehand, have the verdict come out, and it'd be a dud compared to what they expected with the money they put in, with the attention they gave it. Now, they didn't get the response they wanted. They're going back and finding, and I've seen this in the last couple of days looking at a headline, some of the most vile racial, sayings, terms thrown around by people in the media, by people who are the few places where violent action did come from this. But either way, let it go. It's over. I'm sure there will be a few stories that will be important to report on, as you say. The taxpayers' money being spent on one side or the other issue. That's important. But really, we're going to go and you have one of the prosecution's key witnesses who made the defense's case for them on CNN, explaining the difference between two racial slang terms. You have Hillary Clinton tells Sisterhood of Heartache
by the way.
From Verdict. You have, I mean, where you have people, Stevie Wonder not playing in Florida. You have four people killed in Chicago, four children killed in Chicago.
But they want
these headlines. And people are playing right into their hands. As soon as you detach yourself from this crap, it's called news. And news can be used for a positive thing. Instead, it is used to drum up the next Snowden leak, the next Zimmerman, the next whatever the next thing will be. It can be used for a positive.
I agree.
If exposed. And they could not continue to do this to brainwash and manipulate people's emotions, provoke a reaction that they want in order to do something else they want.
They are
we have
working
to call them out.
Of the government. Look, they're a working arm. The corporate media right now, in what you're saying, and I totally agree with you with respect to this case. Understand, of course, it was a black victim. It was a Hispanic male shooter. It was not Caucasian. He was not a white man. He was a Hispanic male. Despite the
I don't care if he was a gray squirrel.
Well, they're making this about race. So, and I don't care either. It doesn't matter if it's black on black, black on or white on white.
Right.
It's a crime. Okay, but
in all reality, the black on black crime, violent crime, shooting crimes stemming from gang and drug related incidents are the worst that are plaguing communities. But regardless,
I guess, and we can end it here at this. But I'll just say this: they're exporting this government, this regime, the Obama people are attempting to export the divisiveness along with the Chicago style violence. Look at Chicago. Look at the city of Chicago. Look at the violence in Chicago itself. Obama, Jared, all Chicago people. But the fact of the matter is they're attempting to export this all across the country. They're attempting to divide us. They're attempting to sow chaos wherever it can be found. We talked about this back in September. We talked about this even before the shooting in Florida. This is their objective. And, Joe, you hit it right on the head when you said they are the chess pieces. Obama, Holder, they're the chess pieces for the people that are acting behind the scenes in order to cause chaos. Don't forget the New World Order motto, order from chaos. Of course, they need that chaos. They
right.
need the
you
chaos.
You can't forcibly make people into participants of some sort of social reaction. You can't force people. People do it of their own free will. They make their own choices to do it. And their own choices are being driven, sadly, by a narrative, an agenda, and a false reality that everyone is their enemy. When they are their own worst enemy, we are our own worst enemies. We, as I've been saying as of late, are most accountable for what's going on with our society. We have not held our politicians accountable. We have not held our pastors accountable. And most importantly, we have not held ourselves accountable. And until that changes, things will continue to get worse, as I feel they will, because it won't change. We are looking at an apostasy, a state of being that is self-destructive. We have reached the level of human self-destruction.
We
are like animals.
But
really,
but go back to what Josh Tully from yesterday had said. And folks, you can once again, if you go to, let me get this correct here. So I screw up our own website. If you go to Hagman and Hagman.com. That's Hagman and Hagman.com. There is a clean, very clean stream from Josh Tully from last night. And listen to that, because Joe is saying, we talked about this last night. We talked about exactly
this. He broke it down real well. You asked him a question, if belief drives action. And he responded that not the belief drives the action, it is the conviction behind that belief. And I do believe there is a lot of truth in that. But also, I do believe belief does drive action in some instances without conviction. And that's what we're seeing here.
Well, we're seeing, yes. And once again, to wrap this up, understand the important part of this, you take the Drudge Report and you kind of separated half of it. And it's all about the Armin Trayvon Martin case. If you just take all that and you put it in a nice little
throw it
box.
Away.
Well, before you throw it away, put it in a box. And understand that that box is the result of the United States Department of Justice using this little-known Community Relations Service, or CRS, a unit of the Department of Justice, and taxpayer money to sow civil and racial discord, not just in Florida, but everywhere across the United States. And once again, let me just go over this very quickly. CRS spent $700 in March going to Florida to work marches, demonstrations, and rallies to work up the people, to work them up. They spent $900 in Florida between March 30 and April 1st to provide support and protest deployment. Is this what our Department of Justice should be doing? They spent $800 for technical assistance to the city in Sanford to organize events and law enforcement agencies for the march on the 31st of March. Go ahead.
And this is going to be something that they're going to have to answer for in the long run. I was reading Matthew 13 today. I read through it a few times. And you reap what you sow. And people who are deciding to take a side against, who are deciding to play a role on either way in this, put any type of human emotion into this, are going to reap what they sow, just like in every other case. This being the flavor of the week.
Man, I'll tell you, we have to use discernment. In my view, we have to use discernment over what's important in the news. I do believe, as we open the show, we talked about the RICO action. I do believe that that is very important. I believe that if we could get people on board, and we will get people on board, and again, I'm talking to this 175 or more, anyone who is denied the opportunity or support, or any one of the multiple of those groups who were victimized, to file RICO actions. Additionally, anyone who might have heard and acted on information from any one or multiple of those groups, if you were affected by this, you could have a million in a class action suit in a civil RICO type environment. Again, it's so important, folks. Please, it's not difficult. Please, you've got to understand what is being said here. This is the only way to bypass the Justice Department, this holder Justice Department, this person, or the same department that is exporting exporting social chaos wherever they go. And this is the only vulnerability in real time that we could use to, and if you sense urgency in my voice, please understand there is urgency, because the galloping of the horses, the dust cloud that we see, the galloping of the horses that are coming at us at full speed to take us down and to take on the road of tyranny. So that said, and of course, that all of this talk, too, is shielding us from the huge threat of World War III breaking out in Syria, or because of Syria and the United States, what they're doing, what they've done and continue to do to topple or to attempt to topple Assad. And, of course, we are going to find ourselves foot, face-to-face with not only Syrian troops, but Iranian, Syrian, Russian troops as well. And this will be unlike anything we have seen in the recent past. Not going to be like Libya. It's not going to be like Iraq. It's not going to be like Afghanistan. Syria is going to explode outward, not implode. And when that happens, it's going to go from a regional conflict to a global war. We're going to see, instead of 100,000 dead and 1 million displaced, you're going to have hundreds of thousands dead and tens of millions displaced from this. This is the greatest threat to our safety and security, global security, if you. This is the greatest threat to world peace in modern history. I would dare say it eclipses the Cold War. We are about to go hot in Syria. Please understand.
Did you see the article I sent you today on the not only problem with what is happening in Syria, but with the economic situation that is there?
It was funny because 5 minutes after, and I didn't check my email, but 5 minutes after you sent it to me, I sent it to you. So if you look at your email, you got it. And we both sent it to each other.
Yeah, I
got to
check that more often than twice a day. But plunging currency adds to Syria's gloom. After more than 2 years of relentless conflict, Syria's government is deliberately trying to avert a secondary crisis, a sharp decline in the Syrian currency, which is adding to the country's economic woes. The war and the Western economic sanctions have been accompanied, and it has taken an inevitable toll. The economy has shrunk by 35% as industrial production has stalled, nearly half the population is unemployed, and foreign currency reserves have been decimated, according to the United Nations, which estimates the overall impact on the economy to be as much as $80
billion. Look, already we have repercussions here in the U.S. The U.S. dollar, once again, and please understand, I received some information from someone who was very spirited, shall I say? But understand, the United States dollar is on the chopping block. We are about to experience something, once again, that our economy has never experienced. China, India, Japan, Iran, they're already trading among themselves and have been for the past year using their own currencies. Now, that said, Syria, in addition everything else, people have to understand the war that's being fought to topple Syria. Think about this as an example. Let's just say that you're going to topple, and pretend you're the bad guy for a moment, and you're going to topple a country. Do you use just your military to do it? Of course not. Look what happened during the Cold War. What happened? How did the United States prevail in part over the Soviet Union? Well, I'll tell you how. Part of it was
they cheated.
They cheated. Well, of course they cheated. We cheated. We counterfeited their money. We debased their currency. And this is what's going on in Syria. There's a debasement of currency in Syria. But the media won't report this. The media is going to say, well, their dollar is suffering from the ill effects of this or the ill effects from that. No, this is part of a larger operation in order to topple the Assad regime. Now, some of it, of course, is a result of the conflict that Syria has undergone. But the secondary crisis, aside from the military crisis, the secondary crisis is economic. And who do you think is behind that? Do you think it's because the local Damascus Toys R Us and the Damascus Walmart is having a bad quarter? No. It's because of the operations of our government and the globalists, international globalists and bankers, attempting to go after the Syrian money and destroy the Syrian economy. You know, when you've got a whole country full of people who are hungry and who cannot buy food because there's no food to buy, or if there is food to buy, you can't afford it because your currency is being debased. You know that they're going to go after the leadership of that country, and the leadership, of course, is going to be Assad. And of course, you've got this situation with the Muslim Brotherhood who want to take control over Syria, and we are backing them, and we're debasing their currency in a covert war against them. It's all part of the globalist plan. And at the end of the day, it's going to be Syria. And then every other country's currency is going down, including the United States. At least that's my view based on my research and our, and I think I can speak for you to some extent, Joe.
I'm not so sure anymore, but...
You know what? You mentioned something very interesting that I think you should toss out to the audience as to what you think might take place.
Well, looking at different things and reading a few opinions and how things could happen and going information from different people, both public and private. What if there was no such thing as a coming financial collapse, but only a new financial system that's already been established, that's pretty complete, that will just be implemented without the collapse? What if there is an area where it's not an economic situation, but the other situation warrants the system being implemented?
And ladies and gentlemen, I'm very proud because he asked that question, and it made me think, and I'm proud of you for asking the question. And shouldn't we all ask that question? Does it have to be what is embedded in our minds, or what the collapse would look like? Does it have to be a collapse that will bring about a single financial system?
Right. Now, think about this. We are told in the Bible we are in a time like there never was before, nor would ever will be again. So can history be our guide?
My goodness. That's a good point. The key words there, never before or again. And
right.
If it was never before, we've seen a fiat currencies come and go. We've seen economies collapse with the Roman Empire, the fiat currency there. So we've seen, but the thing is, though, I would take exception to this, we have not seen this happen on a global scale, I would argue. We've seen the countries collapse, their economies collapse, but have we ever seen anything like an economic global meltdown where all the countries, all the fiat currencies...
What if there was an event, though? What if there was some... We'll just say an asteroid hit the planet and took out... I don't know. This is no basis in truth. This is a fabricated theory I'm making up as I go along, but just as an example. Took out, you know, half of Europe and part of the Atlantic Ocean and the east coast of the U.S.
What if people
decided now we have to consolidate everything because, you know, everything's out of order? Isn't that a possibility?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't discount it. Once again, do we really, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, do you and I really know what to expect?
It seems like every time we try to know what to expect. We are blindsided by something completely opposite of what we thought was coming.
I have to respect you for opening that door, at least to the extent of asking the question. We don't know. We do know this, that the entire world, all the countries across the globe, their economies are based on the fiat currency, on a fiat currency. And folks, if you did the homework assignment, and I use that lovingly and in quotes, of course. If you did the homework about watching the video, the difference between currency and wealth, and watch the 25-minute video or 30-minute video, if you study that carefully, I think you'll understand that we're in a position where this has never happened before and on a global scale. But then again, I understand your point as well about never before and you know, not since, but having said that, even without regard to that, mathematically, our system is it mathematically must collapse. So therefore, we've got to make preparations for it. But we also have to recognize the signs behind it as well, to the best of our ability. But they are attempting. And I say they're talking about the global. They're attempting to create this one world financial system. And the biggest thing standing in the way, and perhaps the only thing, is the United States. It's our currency, our national sovereignty that's standing in the way. Folks, with that, because of the past couple of days, we're going to take your phone calls in the second part, the second half of the program.
Yes.
So beginning at 9:30 Eastern time, just line up. The number is 661-244-9839. That's 661-244-9839. We want to hear what's on your mind. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. On this, the 16th day of July 2013, I'm Hagman with me in studio, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, presenting news to you in multidimensional format. Right back. Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's canadafreepress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Pau, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at canadafreepress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world. Folks, are you interested in the Hunter's Paradise? If you really are, if you want a bargain on a rifle, if you want to, oh, I don't know, if you want to shop for survival gear for hunting equipment, two of the greatest people I know, Carl and Lori Grunland from Grunland Firearms, there are sponsors. This is the place to get your weapons, your guns, and ammunition, is that a word? I don't think so. Ammunition supply. Go to GrunlandFirearms.com. That's at GrunlandFirearms.com. You can get there by our home base, HomelandSecurityUS.com, and click on the link on the right-hand column. You can go up and check out their gun stock list. I'm going to tell you, they change it periodically to reflect availability. You can give them a call, by the way, to check on availability of any particular weapon that you might want to purchase. If you're in the United States, you go to your federal firearm license dealer, and they will enact the transaction for you legally and with little problems. Their website, once again, is GrunlandFirearms.com. If you have any questions for either Carl or Lori, certainly send an email. Their email is on their website. One of the great things about Grunlund Firearms, Carl Grunlund, what an author this man is. He wrote Treed Beyond the River, Cougar Hunting on Vancouver. You got to pick that book up. I know I say it all the time, but I will pick that book up, every other day probably, and just read a story from it, read part of it. I had a report yesterday, jury duty, and I took that book with me. I can tell you, that was the only thing that kept my sanity while I was waiting for things to happen. GrunlandFirearms.com, great friends of the Hagman and Hagman Report. In fact, visit them while you're up there virtually. Sign their guest book and tell them that and Hagman Report sent you. That's Grunlund.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report on this Tuesday, July 16th, 2013. I'm your co-host, Joe Hagman, along with the other co-host, Doug Hagman, together with the Hagman and Hagman Report, the only father and son investigator.
Wait a second.
On video.
I take objection to that. The other co-host.
Okay, the co-host.
My dad. See, it's my dad. It's my pop.
That's all right. That's between the hours of 11 p.m. until 8 p.m., except for the showtime. You are my co-host, but you aren't my father yet.
That's right. It's a job that I have to admit it. It's trying sometimes to be a to
I
be a
bet
father.
It was. And bet it
no, it is.
Those gray hairs you got on your head,
right.
I'm sure a lot of those are my fault. But, well,
it's all right.
We're past that. Right. Opening up this hour, Detroit police arrest a news photographer and lock her up with suspect. Police in Detroit, Michigan have launched an internal investigation after a Detroit Free Press photographer was detained for filming a group of officers as they arrested a suspect on a public street on Thursday, July 11. Maddie Wright was traveling to an assignment with a newspaper reporter when the pair came upon eight officers making an arrest. The video, since posted online, shows Wright capturing a pat-down before she is approached by an officer who orders Wright to back up before covering the camera lens and demanding she turn it off. Wright identifies herself as a photographer for the Free Press, to which the officer responds with, "I don't care who you are." He then reaches for the camera, and Wright can be heard asking, "Are you touching me?" Before the images were cut off, witnesses say the two tussled before uniformed officers put Wright in handcuffs for interfering with the arrest. Wright, 37, has accused the police of wrongfully confiscating her iPhone and simply leaving her locked up alone with the suspect she filmed being arrested. She has also asserted that the memory card from her newspaper cell phone camera went missing after an officer wrestled the device away from her, according to the Free Press. Now, I have an audio clip here in a separate incident. AP scandal forces Department of Justice to change the way it handles arrests. This is a quick clip. Actually, this isn't not a quick clip. This is a five-minute clip. But I listened to this earlier, and here we go.
Just a few short months ago, the Associated Press, a respected journalism outlet that often breaks the news, made the news when word came out that the U.S. Justice Department secretly confiscated 2 months' worth of telephone records from multiple bureaus. Days later, Fox News reporter James Rosen found out that his personal emails had been targeted in an investigation dealing with North Korea. This type of monitoring of the press caused outrage as well as demands for an official investigation. President Obama responded by ordering Attorney General Eric Holder to come up with a report on these cases. Now we finally have a response. The DOJ issued a new set of media guidelines Friday that restricts the agency from labeling a journalist as a criminal co-conspirator while searching for some of their reporting materials. But not all are happy with the outcome of this investigation. To help me dig into the new set of guidelines, I was joined just a short time ago by Jesslyn Radack. She's a National Security and Human Rights Director at the Government Accountability Project. And I began by asking her if this was a new start for the Justice Department.
I hope so. I mean, definitely it's a make nice gesture with reporters. I mean, under the old guideline, they could only subpoena a reporter as a very last resort. This doesn't address the fact that they have thrice subpoenaed Jim Risen of the New York Times. These guidelines, like so many things Obama, sound really good in theory, but in practice, that's where the rubber meets the road in terms of actually carrying them out.
And the one of the things that this report said time and time again is that they will not try journalists as co-conspirators, but they can pursue them in other ways, right?
Right. And I mean, that's significant, though, that they can't be charged as co-conspirators, because, of course, they should be allowed to engage in ordinary journalistic news gathering and publishing. The problem is that I can see an exception being carved out for a group like WikiLeaks, where the government will make the argument that it's not ordinary journalistic publishing, even though it is. So they also had an interesting provision in there about finding other ways than criminal investigations to deal with leaks, for example, administrative penalties. That part I agree with. I just, I mean, it's a good start if that's accurate and they're going to abide by that, but I want to see follow through.
Now, one of the things that is another kind of issue that we need to bring up here is the fact that Attorney General Eric Holder was the one who was responsible for signing off on the investigation of Fox News reporter James Rosen. He is the same person that President Obama tapped and tasked in order to look into this kind of investigation into journalists, this kind of warrant taking a journalist information. So is there an ethical problem here?
Yeah, I mean, I think Holder's...
Of course, that wouldn't play all the way through, but it played through the important part.
Yeah, and that's a good place to stop, because if I may here, a couple of things.
I'm just going to have to listen to every single clip the whole way through, every time we upload it, to see if it goes through.
Well, it was almost as if, well, you almost had that one. But folks, think about this. I guess I'll start it off by saying, always a good time to use a taser. Why don't I start by saying that? I didn't say that. If you watch any television whatsoever, you know that that was said by Andrea. Now, she's the attractive single mom and one of the four stars on the reality show that's on TLC, the police woman of women of Broward County. That's a show that came out back in 2009. In the trailer that included the teaser quip, the video then cut to those stars tackling suspects, and they slammed people to the knees and, you know, punched them in the kidneys and such. They pointing their guns. It was incredible, incredible trailer for the TLC program, the Police Women of Broward County. But here is my point. Where we are now, the action against the journalists, the action against the people, the action in totality is, in my belief, I believe, part of this pulp culture that's always had this big influence on police culture, sometimes reflecting even the prevailing sentiment or even sometimes driving it. Think about this. I think it was in the 70s. How We Got Here. That was the name of a book by conservative pundit David Frum. He said that the decade back in the 70s or from the 60s was a parade of renegade cops, skirted the law, but still abided by a very familiar moral code. If you think about the Dirty Harry series, it reflected the prevailing opinion at the time that the bad court decisions and criminal coddling procedures, and think about that, they were preventing the well-meaning cops from getting bad guys. So what happened? Well, think of the case like Dirty Harry. They just went overboard. And people embraced that. They loved it because they loved to see the bad being punished. And, of course, we take that forward, HBO's The Wire. Of course, the Ed Burns, the former narcotics cop, he was a co-creator of HBO's The Wire. he thinks the influence might have been the other way around than the than I said in a 2008 interview. Byrne said that Gene Hackman movie, and folks, you got to remember this one, The French Connection. Well, that had a big influence on the culture of drug cops. And after all, isn't the drug war on drugs, isn't that kind of set the stage for all of the police action that we're seeing right now? I think it is. But in The French Connection, remember Popeye Doyle? He had that very cynical, harsh, rough, law-breaking type drug style that set the tone in how the street narcotics guys worked. Very flippant, very arrogant. Well, what the movie didn't pick up and what you'd see is all the intense surveillance and hard work that would go into a drug bust back then. I emphasize back then. But they got the idea of this guy who cracks heads, especially in that one scene where, if you watch the movie, where they went in and shook the bar down. Folks, I think anyone who watched The French Connection will recall that scene. It was very, in fact, it became iconic, and I think probably find it on YouTube. And that's the way the cops were afterward. I mean, when you see the white cops in, we'll say, black neighborhoods looking for, or look like Serpico, and they're not undercover, it was just this mindset that took over of how you're supposed to dress and act. And that we are supposed to be. That, according to HBO's co-creator, Ed Burns. Now, The French Connection, you got to think about this. It came out in 1971. Now, the series of botched raids, drug raids, in Collinsville and other areas began in 1973. So which is pushing which? Or which is put, you know, is the TV culture, the movie culture, the Hollywood culture pushing the social agenda and pushing the social norms? Don't forget, and this is kind of my closing point here, kind of the icing on the cake. Remember the 1980s show, Miami Vice? Well, that nurtured the belief that South Florida was just teeming with drug lords armed with more guns than most third world armies. Hill Street Blues, remember that? The one of the grittiest, most realistic portrayal of a big city police department yet aired on television. The show cast most of its cops in a very sympathetic light, but also took on issues like racism, corruption, and brutality. And then we had, don't forget, the Fox hit Cops, the only reality police show on television for 20 years. America, we watched as patrol officers broke up disputes, domestic disputes, arrested wife beaters in trailer parks. And I'm not trying to make any type of disparaging remark about that. Chase petty drug offenders down, darkened up and such. If you look at what's really taking place, it was the expansion of cable television in the 90s and 2000s. It was that blew out the cop reality genre with the shows that tended to emphasize confrontation and a cause celeb of a culture of police military style approach. Was it not? It was A&E. If you look at it, they broke in first Dallas SWAT, which sent a camera crew with the city's elite paramilitary police unit to document drug raids and various other standoffs. The show's success spawned Detroit SWAT, and that, of course, spawned Kansas City SWAT. And pretty soon you had SWAT everywhere. Court TV then jumped in with Texas and SWAT USA. So happened next, of course, the testosterone spike or infused spike television TV network. Well, they joined the mix in 2008, DEA. I could go on and on and on and on. These shows may have had a more sinister entertainment in emphasizing the more aggressive confrontational aspect of police work over community service, hurting people instead of helping people. They may be shifting the profile of the typical young person attracted to police work. But My question is, at the end of the day, what's pushing what? Is it the pop culture of television and Hollywood and movies pushing the reality, or is reality pushing the pop culture? And I think that's an important question to ask. And I'll close with this. If you look at the various norms associated with police work, especially the SWAT teams, because I think that if you talk about militarization of police, isn't SWAT, special weapons and tactics, isn't that perhaps most, Joe, I don't know what you'd call the most, perhaps the best example of the paramilitarization of police forces? Just a few numbers real quick here.
There's a need for SWAT teams, but the way they're done, I think, what is there, 50? I saw a stat the other day. Let me see if I can pull it up here real quick. I think I know right where it's at. It was something along the lines of 50. Okay, there are over 50,000 SWAT team raids annually in America.
Okay.
And today, I'll send you a link to that story. This is a recent story, yes.
Okay. Because the approximate number of raids each year by Toledo, Ohio SWAT team as of 2008 is 400. So think about that. It compared to the number you gave me. A SWAT team.
Yeah, they're here. Okay. The Saloon published a fantastic interview with Radley Balco, an author of a new book, Rise of the Warrior Corp. The interview focused on the fact that the number of SWAT team raids has soared from a few hundred annually in the 1970s to more than 50,000 a year by the year 2005. To make matters worse, most of these raids are focused on nonviolent crimes. Widely identifies three main forces behind this disturbing trend. One, the war on drugs, the national overreaction of 9/11, and the creation of the massive funding behind the Department of Homeland Security.
Okay. Just to add to what you said, to the unlikely agencies that have SWAT teams, are you for this? Are you sitting down? The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service? I can almost understand that. But wait a second. The Consumer Product Safety Commission? NASA? They've got a SWAT team? Did you know that? I'm serious. I am serious as a heart attack. NASA has a SWAT team. The Department of Education has a SWAT team. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm not making this up. U.S. National Park Service, Food and Drug Administration. The value, by the way, of surplus military gear received by, I'll just say Johnston, Rhode Island, from the Pentagon in 2010 through 2011. You want to take a stab, Johnston, Rhode Island. Not think about Rhode Island. Think about how small Rhode Island is in the suburb of Johnston.
Am I going to guess that for how many value, SWAT team raids?
Okay. No. The value of surplus military gear that this little town, this little city in Johnston, Rhode Island, got from the Pentagon in 1 year from 2010 to 2011. The question is
$12 million.
Ah, you're a little high. $4.1 million.
Okay, well, we know that Pentagon program 1033, and I have the paper here somewhere. This is the program that gives the local and state police the resources or the extra military gear, whatever you want to call it, the money to obtain or the actual equipment itself. It's Pentagon program 1033. I have the paper handy.
Folks, you should see Joe. I
have a file cabinet. I bring a file cabinet with me every day. I really do. I have PDF government documents, plans, executive orders, and then my computer, books, notebooks. It's ridiculous. It's like moving your office every day to come to work.
We have an empty file cabinet next to his desk, and the drawers are empty.
I work at home, though, too.
Well, I know. You know what? I should give you the briefcase there. That would probably help. But anyway, well, you've got a case. Well, I'm looking at it, I guess.
I know. This limits me in what I can bring. Sometimes you see the case and a bag.
Maybe we should get one of those, what do you call it, the appliance mover, you know, with the straps on them. But anyway.
One of these days, I want to see you pack up your stuff and come over to my place to do the show from, and we'll see how that goes. That would be fun.
Well, I got to tell you remember how we traveled to and from New York for 18 months, and I would actually have the bag. back of the van loaded with files, anything that I could possibly think of that I would need from my office. So I would really move my office. And I always think, too, what would happen if, like, we flipped over on the high? Because there would be papers everywhere. But anyway, let's get on with the news because we got a lot of important things to cover.
We got 6 minutes. So we're going to take our first phone call. But that's yes, right. We do. Privacy groups led by the EFF sued to stop NSA and FBI electronic surveillance. The Coalition of Civil Rights Advocates and Church Leaders is the latest lawsuit to challenge the federal government over NSA files. That is one piece of news that we can get into a little bit more later. Also, 74% of small businesses will fire workers or cut out Obamacare.
Of course.
Despite the administration's controversial decision to delay forcing companies to join Obamacare for a year, 3/4 of all businesses are still making plans to duck the costly law by firing workers, reduce hours of full-time staff, or shift many part-time or two part-time, according to a spring survey released by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. At the same time this report is going on, we have Carney saying Obamacare reduction of full-time employment is belied the facts. The White House.
That's just. But Carney's just. You've got to wonder if Carney believes what he's saying by himself.
Right. Yeah. The White House press secretary on Tuesday dismissed the reports that some employers were hiring more part-time employees because of the president's signature health care law. The data reflects that there is not support for the proposition that businesses are not hiring full-time employees because of the Affordable Health Care Act, Carney told reporters. Well, that may be true, but they're certainly firing them or cutting their hours, Mr. Carney.
Well, I received, and this is off script here, but I think it's important enough to kind of make it to put it on the script. I received some information here, and let me see if I can find it. While I'm thinking of it, thank you, Cindy. Cindy, thank you for sending this in. From the Virginia Gazette, those of you who may be planning to travel next weekend in the Richmond, Virginia, Interstate 64 is going to be shut down from Bottoms Bridge, Richmond to Croker, Norge, on July 21st. You want to know why? For a test of the I-64 emergency lane reversal plan, okay, the partial lane reversal size, we'll close the highway. It's going to be a huge stretch of highway, by the way. And we were just on 64 earlier, or last month, I guess it was. I've got to tell you, It's a parking lot at times around Richmond, but nonetheless, the reason for this is an exercise for Virginia Emergency Management. It is to test the hurricane evacuation plan. Have we ever seen this happen before? Have we ever seen stretches of busy
Shake
interstate?
It out. Not busy interstate, but the earthquake drills in the New Madrid area, 2 years in a row they had.
Right.
They had the big shakeout where,
right,
you know, schools from all different states were coming together at the same time to simulate, I think it was a 7.2. Even the one in Mexico, they did a drill that actually had an earthquake when they were doing the drill.
Okay.
But yes, I understand what you're saying. I don't know about the.
That just struck me as being
highways.
Odd.
But yes, there's a National Preparedness Plan initiative. It has many agencies underneath it working toward a goal to secure critical infrastructure. And you'll have to read the DOD's critical infrastructure PDF to understand what they consider critical infrastructure.
Right.
But
correct.
Yes, there are actually in my file cabinet. My mobile government PDF lab. The National Preparedness documents that use Presidential Directive 7 and Presidential Directive 8 as the foundation for what they're doing and that they're allowed to do.
So the PPD,
and I have those here also. Yes.
Okay. So
Presidential Directive 7.
Okay.
Official or critical infrastructure identification, prioritization, and protection. You have also the Executive Order National Defense Resource Preparedness. This is part of the National Defense Resource Preparedness Act. You also have an Executive Order 1921, admitting emergency preparedness assignments to organizational and functional changes in federal departments and agencies from June 11, 1976.
Okay. Well, the reason I mentioned that, because I found it in looking for this. This segues from your mention about Carney, you know, being nonplussed about the numbers with respect to the job losses because of Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act. What I was looking for was this by Suzanne Posel. Now, we had Suzanne Posel on air last week, but and folks, in case you don't recall who that is, or perhaps you don't remember her website, it's Occupy Corporatism.
Yes.
Okay. Well, get this. Obama signed an executive order, I think on the 15th, 14th, maybe. I'm not exactly sure.
Are you talking about the AIDS test?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't read that. I saw that, but I'm not sure how true. Is it really calling for every American to be tested
for
AIDS?
Now, Suzanne Posel's headline reads, Obama executive order, all Americans must get tested for HIV/AIDS. Okay, I looked at the executive order. And by the way, this order was signed July 15th. Or at least released on July 15th, which was yesterday.
Yeah, and now jumping ahead here.
Okay, go ahead.
I've been tested before, and I obviously don't have it. So am I exempt from any future testing?
Well, I read the executive order.
Well, what's the purpose behind this?
Accelerating improvements in HIV prevention and care in the United States, the HIV Care Continuum Initiative. That's the HIV. The executive order is called HIV Care Continuum Initiative.
Okay. Well, now, let me say this. It was a voluntary thing. When I was in trouble, I've mentioned I've been to jail before. When I was in trouble, after I got out of jail, I was put into a halfway house, and they had the voluntary test. You had somebody come in once a month to give you instructions on different things, and I volunteered to take it, so that's why. Nothing crazy.
Oh, that's not crazy?
Not to with some stories and things I've seen.
To a father, that's crazy. Okay. Anyway. The executive order, the HIV Care Continuum Initiative, is signed by Obama on the 15th. I read this a couple of different times. Is this mandatory? Well, it says it is voluntary, except when it's not. You see, what they're going to do is they're going to make the implementation of the Affordable Health Care Act. They're going to use that as the vehicle for the voluntary HIV testing. But see, here's the part that I could read it, but it wouldn't make sense, except to say, if you want an insurance carrier to cover you, the federal government is going to require that insurance carrier to test you for HIV, the HIV virus.
And somebody in chat makes a good point and says they will say everyone has AIDS and tag you with an RFID chip. Or what if they, hold the results of your head to get insurance for things or get money out of your pockets to say you need additional thing. But, yeah, these are all theories and taking it out of context. But, yes, this is an invasion of privacy. It is not the government's right to know unless the laws were changed in a way in the Health Care Act. Would it make it their right to know, which would also, through the process of thinking about this, would give them access and ability to do other things to you without your consent, RFID chip or some kind of identification marker that, that aren't explained out with the language that needed to understand it.
I think back, and I don't want to be gross tonight when I say this, but for people that know me, when I was a first responder before they were called first responders. I mean, I got blood in my eyes and my mouth, other people's blood, that is, in my, you know, my nose, anywhere you can think of. And of course, that was before AIDS and HIV. That was, you know, in the 70s before it became well known. But this particular, there's a reason why I mentioned it, and I'm not sure why now, but this particular executive order here creates this working group co-chaired by the director of the Office of National AIDS Policy and the Secretary of Health and Human Services, or their designate. Now, here is part of this working group. Listen to who's part of this working group, this membership, if you will. The Department of Justice. What do they have to do with anything? The Department of Labor. I can kind of see that. Department of Health and Human Services. But HUD, Department of Housing and Urban Development, the Department of Veterans Affairs, the Office of Management and Budget. Oh, and
the DOD.
And here's the kicker. Any other agency as designated by the co-chairs. So DHS, FBI, CIA, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm just not, I'm of course, but this is a very, to me, this is a very important and a very significant step here.
Yeah, we're going to go to the phones now, but keep in mind, too, it also could be a way to gather DNA.
Absolutely.
All right, with that, we're going to go to area code 410 in the chat room, known as Moving Forward. You're on with the Hagman and Hagman Report. What's on your mind tonight?
Thanks for letting me thanks for taking the call, Hagman Jr. and Senior. My first time calling into the show. What a lot of good stuff you're throwing out there. And I want to say that I've been listening to this show for the last few months and been learning a lot. Learning a lot. You guys are great, and you know.
Well, thank you so much.
I come home from work and I got to get my fix. A couple times a week of your show. So,
thank you.
Anyway,
so much.
I'm not trying to plagiarize you guys. I'm trying to say that I'm glad you're out there telling it and, you know, giving folks an education. But that last point you brought up about, you know, Obamacare and the choice of the American people, you know, what we're paying our tax dollars for. And, you know, there's a lot of good people out there in government trying to do good things, just my view. But those choices are being taken away from us. They're being taken away from us. And it's about, you know, the voters being informed about what's happening. And this transparency, this lack of transparency about health care, I mean, you know, it's outright scary. And
exactly.
You know, the Constitution provides, just my view, the Constitution provides the government so many authorities, but now it appears that those choices are being taken from us. And, we didn't authorize all these health care things, and we didn't authorize all these encroachments on our privacy, and we didn't authorize the American people all these rights being taken from us without a discussion and a vote and a vetting.
But the caller,
and you guys are throwing that in front of us. You guys are putting that out and saying, hey, there needs to be a discussion.
Exactly. We are losing our choices. The government is out of control, from the NDAA to the Patriot Act to this is so crazy, which, by the way, is why we're trying to push the Civil RICO Act against the IRS, because what's the enforcement arm of the Affordable Health Care Act? Is the IRS. We need to get this pushed back, caller. I don't know how you feel about it, but it's a bad law. When you've got 20,000 plus pages over the Affordable Health Care Act, for example, that's a bad law. But choices, you're absolutely on the money. Choices are being taken from us left and right. And pretty soon, it's going to become nothing but a tyrannical dictatorship. if we're not already there.
Well, you know, again, I don't think the government's bad, but I think they're doing a bad job of putting the discussion in front of the American people, involving us in the discussion. And, you know, all these things I hear going on, this guy Putin over in Russia, you know, he's bringing the church back, conservative Christian values, family values, mom and dad's raising kids. And over here we've got, you know, maybe if I was a baseball card player, I'd want to make a swap, you know, trade Obama for Putin. Because that's where things are going. That's what's exactly happening. I mean, you know,
exactly.
He's pulled his troops out of, like, Syria, and now Obama wants to get us involved in another war. And, you know, I just don't get what, you know, what's happening. So maybe the American people need to be involved in the discussion.
Thank you for saying that. I believe that. And my question to you, and obviously it's rhetorical, I suppose, but did you ever think that Russia would look, you know, would be acting more like the United States did 20 years ago than the United States?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding? I'm a retired U.S. Army vet. I'm a Cold Warrior. I grew up in the Reagan years. Bill Clinton signed my discharge after a career in the military. I mean, come on. Now we've got a Marxist leading the country, bringing us down the social toilet. I mean, you know, that's just my view.
No, I hear you.
And,
believe me, my friend, you're right on the money, and I want to thank you very much for your compliments. I thank you very much. We will try, with every show, we try to improve and try to bring you more information. With every sentence, we try to, you know, put facts in with the discussion and bring the discussion
thanks for letting me call in. I know I said too much, my friend. I know I said too much, thanks for hearing my words, and God bless you, and Maranatha.
Bless you, too, and look forward to hearing from you again. Thanks for calling. All right, we're going to move on to the next call, and if you want to weigh in from now on to the rest of the show, 661-244-9839. That's 661-244-9839. You press 1 to speak with the host. And
we don't screen calls, by the way.
Not at all.
We don't screen
That's
calls.
That's why we use the area codes, which we're going to do now. Area 515, we're coming to you next. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
How you guys doing? You there?
Fantastic. What's on your mind?
I don't know. Let me check, see how I'm doing. It looks okay.
3,000 YouTube videos in the last 6 months. I'm a YouTube analyst, and I got 4 computers running. I ended up in a wheelchair and didn't have much to do, so I went out and got some of the best video equipment you can buy. I got like a 4-foot flat screen, and I just got some nice stuff. And I started noticing things, and I started just doing YouTube videos just to see what's out there and try to discern the truth. I started running across, you guys have heard a couple things I ran across, but I ran across a real interesting one. Get your pens ready. It's just called 4ATB, capital F, capital O, capital R, A, capital A, and then .TV. And you go to an interview by Star Jones of Trayvon's mother. And
right.
When that one's done, you watch a 13-minute video, some pop-up, click on with the bald-headed man, a bald-headed white man, it's 13 minutes long, and you guys watch that one, and you're going to be blown away. But remember when Obama said, that could be my son, that picture of Trayvon?
Well,
you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, how about this? How about if that's Obama when he was 16? And what you're going to see at 4ATV, where I just told you guys to go, I want you guys to check this stuff out yourself. Just like what I've seen in India with the, remember what I told you? I've seen the kids holding the Freemason signs and they got set on fire.
Yes.
Well, that's all been That's all been shoved under the rug. But this 4A TV, I went out and bought a Netgear box. And you know what those are, those streaming media boxes?
Okay.
And they're pushing that as one of the channels. So I just started scoping it out. And
somebody
analyze this thing for us. We need somebody to analyze 4A TV for us because, I don't know, it's got a strange undertone of the UN behind this thing. But I want you to go see this. It shows a picture of a two-year-old boy getting killed in a senseless drive-by shooting. And then there's a six-year-old boy and an eight-year-old boy and a 10-year-old boy. And then there's a budding football star. I think he's about 16. And then there's a budding basketball star, and I think he's about 18. And he looks a lot like Crayvon Martin. But all these guys have one thing in common. And I want your listeners, and I want you guys, and your son, he's wise. He's on the ball here on this stuff. I want you guys to just go there and see what you think. I'm not going to say who it is, but it's going to blow you away.
All right.
You
we'll
guys
do that.
Are doing a good job, man. I've been looking for a station that's got the truth to it. And the one I can only find is you guys. The rest are all owned by the evil competition. You know what I mean? They're pushing the evil agenda, everyone. And you guys are the only ones I can find with the truth. And I've listened
to
hundreds of
them. That's all we care about. Look,
yeah,
all we
think
about is the truth, caller.
I'm going to let you go. I got somebody beating on the door.
All right, buddy.
Okay.
Take care, my friend. Thanks for the call. And we'll look into that. You know, it's interesting because Joe callers do come in with different websites, different ideas, and say, hey, take a look at this and take a look at that. In fact, one of the I'll just tell you this. One article, one piece of information that about Obama that I know was acted upon by the cold posse came to us in a call very similar to that. And that's all I'll say. We can move on.
We're going to move on to caller area code 304. We're coming to you. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello there, and we're here, and we're ready for to hear what you've got to say.
Well, I have lost my iPhone here recently, and I had a little bit of time during the day today, and I was listening to Laura Ingraham first, and I listened to Rush Limbaugh, and then later on in the afternoon it was I like him. I don't listen to Sean Hannity at all, but the whole thing today was all about the Trayvon. I mean, it just kills me. These people, it just never ends. It's one right after another. And Mark Levin, at least he was talking about something, you know, he was talking about what was going on with the legislation and everything, but man, it just kills you. And like your last caller and other callers.
Let me ask you a question, caller. Why do you think that is? Because you obviously listen to a lot of talk. Why do you think everybody from Laura Ingraham to Rush to whoever is talking about Trayvon Martin? Now, this is not a trick question. I'm just trying to get your viewpoint. What's the attraction there? What's the reason for that?
It's the big media story. I guess everybody wants to be on board with it. I'm sick of hearing it already. And I know there's, riots and things going on in different parts of the country, and it's a horrible situation, and it's horrible what Holder has done, and it's horrible what Obama has done, and they just feed it. They're just feeding the fire, just like Joe said. I mean, earlier, it makes you wonder, and then. Like what you say, what's going on in Egypt and what's going on in the Middle East and what's going on with what should be the big story, you know, Christians being killed all over the earth, and you don't hear anything of it.
Exactly. There's so much more going on both domestically as well as internationally. Joe,
very right. And I'm glad that you can see through the mess that is this big distraction, and we got to keep our eyes on the ball and looking for what is really going on that's important that they're trying to hide, or disengage from any attempt to make us or try to inject us emotionally into any situation that they put in front of us.
Yeah, I know. It's but it's just so many people play into it. It amazes me. It really does. I sure appreciate you guys. And anyway, you guys have a wonderful night, and God bless you. And
thank you so much. Thank you for the call, and God bless you. Thanks for listening. And by the way, keep your hands on that iPhone, will you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks for the call.
I miss it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
I just want to go over one thing here about the what they're doing with the Zimmerman trial is trying to get people to provoke them to riot. And in the Bible, it clearly states on numerous occasions, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, wherein they think it's strange that ye not run with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. In Titus 1, verse 6, it says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, it says, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they, and blemishes, sport themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. And there are many other examples in the New Testament and Old Testament about causing strife, being part of entangled conflicts that are oppressing your brothers, hurting your fellow brothers and sisters. And by when I say that, I mean your human beings that live around you on the same earth.
Well, one of the, as you point to the Bible, that's a great source as well. I look at the communist goals that were published in 1963 and introduced back in the late 1950s. One of the communist goals, number 19, if we were to number them, would be to use riots to foment public protests, attack organizations, attack values, essentially to divide and conquer. And also part of that is to gain control key positions in radio and television and even places in Hollywood in order to shape, form a public opinion, to sow discontent, discord, racial and social, socioeconomic strife, and what's happening today. This is a lot of it. So from the Bible to the to the communist goals of 50s and as we see it playing out today, this is also one other goal is to create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate. They're legitimate aspects of the American tradition. They're not. And doesn't that also tear down part of the Judeo-Christian aspect of our culture?
It does. By engaging that, it takes you out of the covering of the Lord's protection, engaging in that conduct. I mean, they are really working as hard as they can. And you can believe me if you want to, or you don't have to if you don't want to. But think of it as an anti-Christian agenda. Think of it as them trying to make you fall away by engaging in conflicts that have no bearing on anything of your future on this world or the next.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be in tonight, open lines for the rest of the program, 661-244-9839. That's 661-244-9839. We're one of the only shows that allows you, the caller, to talk. We don't talk over you. We don't cut you off.
No.
We let you say what you've got to say.
We have a few minutes before the break. We're going to take the next call. Area code 304. We're coming to you next. You're live on the Hagman Report.
Can hear you breathing.
304.
We know you're there.
All right.
We saw what you. We know what you've done. We saw You did.
Area code 405. We got 6 minutes, 5 minutes. You can take us out this hour.
Yeah, hi.
Good evening.
I'm talking. Hi. I love you guys. You guys are
we love you too.
Oh, my God. I'm kind of like that guy in the wheelchair, but, I mean, I have a painful leg. They want to give me a new knee and hip, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm losing weight to get, but you guys are so on the money. Well, he was just saying about trying to make us fall away. Oh, my God, you know, that's so true. I was just reading about how they're preparing for that star coming in or whatever, and the Lord telling people, you know, it's like the destroyer. It's like in the days of Moses when it passed over. You have to be under the protection of the Lord, and they are working so hard to get us out of that. And
how true is that?
Yeah, right? And the few things you were talking about, you just keep bringing up things that are so on the money. You were talking about that. Do we have to take that test? Do we have to take that HIV test?
To answer your question, the executive order is going to compel the insurance companies who are offering the various programs of the Affordable Health Care Act. There is a date certain or date specified in the executive order. I believe it's 2014, a certain date in 2014. I've got to go back to it again, but I'm not certain if it's going to be an actual requirement if you already are covered under insurance. I don't know to be. I'm not sure if anyone knows at this point.
Your son is saying first thing I thought was they want DNA for their RFID chips. Your son mentioned that. I mean, you guys are just so on the ball. It could be that. And then I heard this soldier on a YouTube program. She was agitated, and she was saying that she was in her Bible for a couple of days, and she had to say something. Her buddies were practicing drills. They were going to try and put up roadblocks October 8th and force vaccinations on people. Who knows? They're going to have, you know, one of those flus out or something. But, you know, Lem H 5N7 or whatever the heck they are, you know, one of them is going to be pretty rampant, and they're going to try and force vaccines, and then they're going to clamp a bracelet on you to put an RFID chip in your wrist. And
caller, let me ask you a question. Maybe you know the answer to this question. Wasn't there a movie? I think it was based in London, England, or it was a British film, I believe, that the same scenario you're talking about a pandemic where they were forcing vaccinations and then putting some sort of marker, whether it was a bracelet or something on your arm. I can't remember, but it rings a bell anyway.
Wow. Well, yeah, I don't watch movies that much. But, I mean, I try to stay away from TV. You know how that is. But
absolutely. Yep.
You were saying something about it might be something for futuristic trying to, you know, where they have, you know, where they feel they have permission to do something, you know, pour something on people. And that's what that made me think of. But I don't know. And then she was very young. And a couple of days later, I heard a report about there was some soldiers. She said she was risking her life. And there were some young soldiers fighting a guy and a girl, and they shot each other or something in California. I don't know where she was from. But, I mean, where you were saying they were trying to force it, you know, where they might be trying to force something else on somebody later. So, you know, that really kind of rung a bell with me. But the other thing you were talking about, that Trayvon, and my daughter just came in, and they're always making fun of me for watching YouTube, you know, but that's pretty, I sort through, and I'm pretty particular, and I make sure everything's matching up with a few other things. People are credible, you know, like yourself. I used to do Coast to Coast, but Steve Quayle says, or there was someone who said that, you know, they just got too much ghosts and, you know, alien stuff on there. Yeah.
We've got 40 seconds left at the top of the hour. Let me ask you a real quick question here. In a nutshell, how do you feel about everything you see happening? It's happening so fast. I mean, how does that do? Go ahead.
I am kind of the cripple on I'm a widow. And I'm on support, and of course it's not the churches like it was meant to be to begin with, and it scares the living daylights out of me. I just, you know, if the Lord didn't keep coming to me and confirming that He's coming soon and that He never leaves us or forsakes us, I would definitely be probably in diapers or something, you know.
Caller, yeah. We are with you. You're part of our extended family, and you have a seat at the table here with us every night.
I hear your frustrations all the time, and I just keep praying. And Steve Quill, I think you had Steve Quill and Pastor Rick on. Oh my God, I wish you'd keep doing that on a Sabbath night. I stay by myself. I'm nervous about church. I don't know any good churches, to tell you the truth. But I was in a Catholic church for a long time until that pit both came along and my eyes opened at what's going on. But he had communion on air. And
yes.
My God. It was the joy of my life in all this. I fucking didn't know how much I really appreciate you, and I'm always listening. So I want to thank you. I know the Lord will take care of us, but it's scary. I have a 7-year-old daughter. You know, I hear how the Jews tell their wives to stay home. They should have a gun with a bullet for the daughter and her. You know,
There's one thing that we want you to know. Okay, there's one thing we want you to know. Two things. Number one, you're not alone. Regardless if you are physically alone, you're not alone. And second of all, it's going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay because we're going to make sure. I mean, we are with you to the extent that we can. We're going to help you. We're a part of your life to the extent we can. And it's because of you that we do these shows. And we're so glad.
And you know, he's prayed that there would be someone that would, you know, bring us the safety if things came down. Steve's always talking about, you know, the worst scenarios. So I just did he prays like he does because he brings the Lord to me. And bless your heart. I'm listening. Just don't forget, I'm there praying for you too, all the time.
Well, thank you so much. Well, God bless you. We're at the end of the go to break. Thank you so much for your call. It was a pleasure to hear back from you soon. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're going to our top of the hour break. We'll be right back with phone calls and more as I see the phone call queue is lined up with callers. We'll get as many as possible. Stay with us on this Tuesday, July 16th, 2013. We'll be right back.
Hi folks, Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines, you just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's canadafreepress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Pau, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at canadafreepress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world. Sorry about that error, folks. That was my fault. See, that's not allowed to press any buttons. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to direct your attention to one of our sponsors, our great sponsors, American Survival Wholesale, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Some of the best people I know, my goodness, they're offering right now a pay-as-you-go one-year emergency food supply program. This is one of the best things I've ever seen, really. They've partnered up with the Ready Project, Linden Farms, to bring us this unique option. When I say us, I'm talking about the listeners of this program. The listeners of this program, they provide this absolute value on healthy emergency food. And if you know Linden Farms, you know the quality I'm talking about. At the same time, American Survival Wholesale is working. They are working within your monthly budget. You see, here's the deal. 12 months supply worth of food. The first month, it costs $360. It's budgeted out. And what American Survival Wholesale has done is every month thereafter, it's $12 less. But here's the kicker. At the 12th month, that month is free. You get a year's worth of food in a declining monthly payment format to fit your family budget for less than a car payment. It's unbelievable. The food is great quality. And by the way, you can stop this at any time. The even better part, even better than the free shipping they offer, even better, if you want to pay for it all at once, you can. $2,495. I don't know how they do this because similar packages, and I've priced them, $4,000 plus. Folks, go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. If you have any questions, as a matter of fact, copy this email address down, bugoutamerica@usa.com. That's bugoutamerica@usa.com. We are so proud to be associated with AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They're bending over backwards to provide you the greatest products and also methods to fit your budget. They've done everything that they can, including, and I know this to be, and I'm probably going to get yelled at for saying this, including taking losses just to get you prepared for what's coming. It's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. This is a great product, great people, Christian people. They're the salt of the earth. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Go there today.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour of this Tuesday, July 16th edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're going to get right back to your calls as we have a full bank of callers, plenty of people to go to. We're going to go back here to area code 512. We're coming to you first. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello?
Yes, it's you. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, this is the first time I've ever called in. I've been listening for a long time, and I just wanted to say thank you, first of all, because I was very engrossed in a situation, family situation with the death and the aftermath, and kind of woke up. I don't know really how I found you all, but when I did, I'm a regular listener, and wow, did you open my eyes to some things that were going on around me that I had not seen. And as a result, well, and it turns out that there's lots of people that haven't seen it. So you have enabled me to help a lot of people wake up. about what's really going on around us and how what is presented as the news is nothing more than fantasy. And it's been really, really helpful. But one of the reasons that I chose to call this evening was I heard your caller that said she was alone. She's really not alone. As long as she has faith, she's really not alone. And I appreciate so much that when you give the news, when that you keep it, there's so many fearmongers out there that just the story gets so much bigger and extrapolated out, but they never come back to the biblical perspective that these things are going to happen because these things have to come to pass, that we were told about it, we were warned about it, we are supposed to be watchful. And
amen.
The fact that you stick to the facts, and then when people, when the news is particularly disheartening, you step in and you remind people, and just like you did with the scripture that you were pointing out about the riots. And I used to live outside Chicago, and back when I was in high school, so this was quite a while ago, we had a town. I'd grown up there. Everybody got along, black, white, you know, we were fine. Then the government put in some housing and moved a different type of person. The town just exploded. Our chief of police ended up with he got hit in the head with a brick, had to have 220 stitches in his head. There was no respect for the police. It was just out of control. That was years ago. And in this gun debate and all of the, you know, and people are saying, oh, guns are unsafe, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people? How would you like to be a single mother living in Chicago and you don't have a gun to protect yourself or your children? Do we not think about, you know, I live in a safe neighborhood, but not everybody does, you know, and it's only safe for the meantime, you know. So you present a broader picture for people, and I think that that's wonderful, and I'm so appreciative of that, and I'm so appreciative of the way that the way you present it, and the fact that when the news is hitting us with this Trayvon Zimmerman tragedy all the way around, it's a tragedy, but it affects these two lives and their families, of course, but they're Syria, and it's huge, the number of people that have been affected, the number of people that are going to be affected, and nobody's talking about that.
That's right. The world will be affected.
That's right, and nobody's talking about that. People don't know it. They don't even know about it. I mentioned it to someone, and they looked at me like I was crazy. I said, "You don't know about this? You don't know about this?" They really did not know about it. Well, I didn't hear about that on the news. I said, well, that's because you're not going to. Have you not woken up to this yet? and it's truly, truly amazing. So I appreciate what you do. Keep doing it, because this race baiting, this trying to start something where there's lots of cases that actually would qualify. This one is not one.
I understand your feeling. Yeah.
And
you're 100% on the money. Yeah. You're 100%
on
the money call.
I mean, I used to be very, very, you know, if it was wrong, I'd get out and I'd protest, I'd sign petitions, I'd organize them, I'd have speakers and, you know, in my home and invite people to come and listen. And because of the situation that I had, I wasn't able to be real active and involved. And boy, there's no way I would participate in any of that at this point, because things are so off, it could turn ugly in a heartbeat. And then you'll be right in the middle of something that you never wanted to be a part of and never meant to be a part of. So I think it was really wonderful that you cautioned people about that, about, you know, even if you feel strongly about this, be careful about your actions, because I really am afraid there's going to be many, many people caught up in things they never intended to be as a result of this. And so I just wanted to call in and tell you thank you so much. I've seen it personally from my days at school when, you know, nobody actually, it was like a bunch of it's like a bunch of victims running around that had no idea what was going on. And
yeah,
it really very much reminds me of the situation we're in today. So thank you for the warning. Thank you for getting the word out about that, because we don't need that. Nobody needs that.
Amen. And thank you for your call. We got to move on to other callers. And
God bless you. God bless you. Wow. Great call.
Yeah, thank you so much. I hope to hear from you again.
Thank you for the articles, too. They are absolutely wonderful, very thought-provoking. Thank you, and have a good night.
You too.
Good night. God bless. Joe, we got the best audience in the world. We really do.
Yeah, yes, we do. We're going to keep moving on the call list here. Area code 860, we're coming to you next. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman River. There you go.
Good evening, gentlemen.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just want to congratulate you on you doing a heck of a job, and you just keep it up.
Well, you know what? What we try to do, caller, is we just try to do a show, present the truth, present the facts without any hype, without any bluster, without the sky is falling approach, and I think that's really important. You know, I really do, and I thank you for your vote of confidence in your words by saying, you know, keep it up, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to try to walk everyone through what's coming down the pike here, what we see is coming down the pike. But I want to thank you for your kind words. Is there anything in particular that you want to speak at or speak about?
Yes. I am just flabbergasted by the demagoguery, the race baiting, the incitement to violence, the incitement to riot, the fomenting insurrection, and what's coming out of the White House, you know, this little weak little conciliatory words, you know, it nothing near the passion that was devoted to gun control, nowhere near the passion devoted to condemning the police officer who arrested Mr. Gates in Cambridge. There's none of that.
No, we understand. What has surprised you more, the alternative media's feed into this frenzy or the mainstream media's continuation feeding the alternative media? What's your take on that? You think does the mainstream really dictate what the alternative media talks about, or does the alternative media seem to have the same agenda as the mainstream media?
I think more and more the alternative media is pushing, or not quite driving, but pushing the mainstream media. They have to react more and more and basically pick up the stories that are covered in the alternative media.
Okay. No, I appreciate your answer, and I just don't understand, you know, you expect it from the mainstream media, but not the alternative media to this level of attention it's been getting. And that's just my opinion of it, but it's something that's definitely off here.
No, it's very sad. I've seen people that I respect just falling for it and jumping into the racial narrative of us versus them, which is,
yeah,
you know, sad.
And caller, does it surprise you? Does it surprise you that this race baiting, that this us versus them, that there's this element within the Department of Justice that's actually paying for this, that's actually superintending this program, that's actually promoting this. I mean, does this surprise you at all?
It surprises me that they got caught, to be honest.
Okay.
But you know, I'm a believer. I'm of the Jewish faith, Judaism. I'm a believer, and you know, the wicked cannot succeed forever. You know, their schemes are foiled.
Oh, I'm sorry. We know how. I'm muted. See, that's why I can't.
Is there a dead air in my dad's talk?
I can't allow near the buttons. But we know how the story's going to end. So, but we know that there's a lot of bumps in the road between now and the end of the story, the end of this great book of life. And that's the part that we have to get through. And that's the part that people have a hard time dealing with, the you know, whether it's the persecution of the Jews, the Christians. Regardless of what it is, we've got to really have a plan and be mentally, physically, and spiritually prepared for what's coming, right? I mean, isn't that what this is all about?
You know, how spiritually prepared can one be? You know, it's, you know, I guess you have to be in a state of grace to really be able to face these things without worrying. But
well,
we're trying.
Exactly. You know, we should note, or I should note, that you know, we're not going to be able to change how the story ends, which is why we don't know either with precision what's going to happen between now and the end of the stories, which is why we do the show. But it, you know, it's better to stand up now than to be run over when we're lying down later. But you know, rather than fill the airways with trite sayings, I think, caller, we're all on the same track here mentally. And we're certainly all in the same boat. That's one thing for sure. So, but I want to thank you very much for your call and for your input. My goodness, you know, we have to be prepared for what's coming. Sure, go ahead.
What's appearing to me, and I could be biased, you know, by my ethnic background, my religious background, but what I see with this riot for Trayvon situation here, it looks like Kristallnacht, all right? That's what I see. I see Kristallnacht. We've already got our Homeland Security brown shirts. We've already got our Hitler in the White House. Now they're doing the Kristallnacht program with this fantasy that the Jews don't know what they're seeing or what to do about it, or like we haven't prepared in the last 60 years, okay? This is a ridiculous thing for this man to do, or whoever's doing it, okay? There's 6 million of us in this country right now, and it's about 180,000 Israelis, which means there's a minimum of 100,000 trained Israel Defense Forces veterans on the ground in this country right now. Do you really want to play this Hitler game? It's not going to turn out how you think.
Interesting. It's not going to turn out how we think. All right.
I want to thank you for your call. We got a bunch of other callers to get to, and it's great to hear from you, and hope you call back again soon.
Very interesting call. Thank you. Thank you for that. God bless. And shalom, by the way.
Moving right along here, we're going to go to area code 856. We're coming to you. You're on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello, is that me?
That is you. What's on your mind tonight, Carl?
Hey, man. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. This is my first time calling in, and I just want to say when I heard that story or that executive order, mandatory HIV and what have you.
Caller, are you calling from a cell phone? Or you're
yes,
you were cutting
yeah,
out there. Okay.
Oh, sorry about that.
You were cutting out every word.
Okay. I'll try to get a spot of that.
You know, this in the interim here, this reminds me of one of my guilty pleasures used to be watching Married with Children. And some of the early episodes, if you've ever seen that show, when Fox first came on the air, they would take their family Fox viewing positions. One would hold a piece of foil, another would hold a wire, one would touch a lamp while touching the television. And that's why I feel our cell phone technology has evolved to of late. But go ahead, caller.
Me?
Yeah, it's not getting any better.
Sorry about the bad reception.
Okay.
All right,
I'll try.
If you can try and call back when you get a better signal or a more secure line, we'd appreciate it. We'll take your call if I see you back up on the board. And we're going to go on here to area code 214. We're coming to you next. You're live on the Hackman and Hagman Report.
Hey, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, I finally got in. I just want to tell you about something I saw. I guess it was last summer. I saw a car accident, and that's not the end of the story. Well, it was three lanes going east and three lanes going west, and two lanes going north and south. You know, and the green arrow was on, so someone was turning left, and then there was a collision. And then the thing is, nobody moves. Like, there were so many people around, but everybody was frozen, you know? And that's what I want to tell you about.
Okay.
And I just drove across to the other end of this intersection to see if I could help the people, because the car looked like it was full of smoke, but it was the dust or from the airbags, you know? And they started getting out of the car. And everybody was okay. But still, I looked around and nobody was moving. Everybody was just frozen. And I thought, that is such a, I'm not sure what the word is, allegory or
well, that's like a metaphor of what's going to happen. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, think about that, caller. You're in the money with that. Everyone is stopped and stunned, almost animation. And it's you're right on the money with it. You're going to have people involved. I don't want to take your airwaves, but that's a good metaphor.
Yeah. So, and ever since I saw that, I wanted to call you guys and tell you about it, because, you know, like I said, that's exactly what's gonna. I don't know if you can hear that. I'm getting a bunch of text messages on my phone. Anyway, but yeah, that's exactly what's gonna happen when things are starting to go bad and everybody's going, what the heck, you know, and they don't know what to do. So. You guys are helping everybody, you know, the people over here to prepare for what's happening. So that's about all I got.
Well,
anyway,
we want to thank you very much for the call, and you go ahead and send your text messages. God bless, and thanks for that metaphor. And I want to say this to add to what caller said, Joe. John's down in Florida, and. You think about this, ladies and gentlemen. We're at a busy intersection in Miami, and the traffic was being. According to me, he had a very funny, odd feeling about the traffic flow and about the traffic patterns. You know, across there were three lanes in each direction, but there was a walkway actually that, or a, you know, a pedestrian walk. So think about this, three lanes in each direction. I think it was Ocean Boulevard. Or one large section of Ocean Boulevard in Miami. And he said that the funniest feeling about the way traffic was moving. And although we had a walk signal, and there was five of us, he put out his arms, stopped everyone from walking on the walk signal. And within 15 seconds, there was this car accident that took place right in pedestrian walkway that would have taken them had they walked. And his friends looked at him and said, how did you possibly know that was going to happen? And he said, I don't know. I just felt by looking at the traffic pattern down the road a piece that something wasn't right. And by that last caller, are we not at particular area? Could we not? Are we not seeing that really funky kind of traffic pattern? And combined with what the caller just stated, will we not perhaps see an accident? And then, of course,
yeah,
you know. So
we report that your voice is choppy. So we'll take this next call, drop off, pick back up, drop off, and jump back on your end.
All right. Why don't you give out the number again, too?
We got a full bank of callers actually, so we're just going to keep on moving. Area code. Let's see. Area code 407. We're coming to you next. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fantastic.
Hello?
What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I just wanted to share with you who Obama really is. His real name is Barry Allen. He's the son of Thomas Beecham Owens of Clewiston, Florida.
And how do we know this?
Because he's my half brother.
Oh, this is going to be interesting.
Okay, it was in 1980. Pablo Escobar and the Mafia, they set up the drug cartel down there, and they got into the cocaine. Getting a little bit nervous here, as you can tell. Bottom line, I forged his birth certificate. In 1985.
Caller, would you send me an email? Would you do that?
Okay.
What I'd like to do is off air. I'd like to collect the information, and because I'm sure you got some documentation or something that you could provide, correct?
Well, actually, what I do have is a sheriff's report from August 16 of 1990. I've submitted it to the FBI, and they have not responded.
How long ago did you do that?
Oh, about 5 months ago.
Okay. Do you still have a copy in your possession?
Yeah, I have the copy, and I have the original.
Okay. Caller, would you mind, now we've got your phone number, would you mind if perhaps we chatted off air? And the reason I say this is because...
I'd rather do it on air, because I've tried chatting off air and it's just not getting anywhere.
Well, believe me, if what you're telling me is authenticated, we can certainly get this in the hands of the cold case. Have you talked to Mike Zullo, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, any of the others?
Okay. Mike Zullo, passed on information through emails. They are not responding. I mean, has it ever occurred to you that maybe they don't want to see this thing move forward? I mean, I'm not trying to be, I'm just saying it hasn't moved forward. Is it possible that they don't want it to move forward?
Well, anything's possible, and yes. But I guarantee you, if you show me an authenticated document, and the, for example, something to authenticate or something to verify what you're saying, because you're asserting, and so for callers just joining us, you're asserting that Barack Hussein Obama is known as, what did you call him, Barry?
Barry Allen, and I don't know if he used the last name Owen. But he is the son of Thomas Beecham Owens, Sr., formerly of Clewiston, Florida.
Okay. All right. Well, what we can do, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to send me an email. And my email is on the left-hand side of the page. I guarantee you, we can authenticate this. I can promise you that you can hold me accountable on air.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you. I know I'm being rude. I'm going to interrupt you. The only way to authenticate it is through blood testing.
Well, there are other ways as well, but blood testing would be the most verifiable way of proving the DNA. But having said that, caller, please send me the documentation via email. I guarantee you we will act on this. And if we don't, you can hold us accountable on air at any given time in the future. But I'll look for that email as soon as you send it. caller. I want to thank you for that information.
Interesting call. Don't get calls like that too often. And we're going to move right along. Area code 910, we're coming to you next. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. What is on your mind tonight?
Well, Doug and Joe, I really appreciate your show, and I appreciate you taking my call this evening.
Well, we appreciate your call.
Looking at wondering how this president is going to handle his Cuban Missile Crisis.
Interesting
with the,
question.
Panamanians holding the Korean ship that tried to smuggle those weapon systems through the Panama Canal. I think it was yesterday that they actually caught it.
Interesting. And how many people are even aware of that?
Well, once I found it on the internet, I made sure that I watched the evening news, the world news, on one of the major channels tonight, and the mainstream channels, and saw that they did actually touch on it. The Panamanians looked at it and said, "Well, this ship, we think it might be smuggling drugs," and they decided to look into it, and they actually found missile. Looked like surface-to-air missile systems hidden down underneath a load of sugar.
Right. And for people that don't know what this caller is referring to, the North Korean ship was seized by Panamanian authorities. Now they found missile parts discovered aboard. Initially, the vessel was stopped, by the way, at the entrance to the Panama Canal because, as I think you indicated, that they thought the ship was carrying drugs, but when they looked at it closer, it was an attempt, or it's being seen as an attempt by North Korea to break UN resolutions on arms trafficking. Gee whiz, why not? But the fact of the matter is, the missile parts were contained in this ship, not necessarily active, ready-to-go missiles, but missile parts, which would be in direct non-compliance with the agreement that we have with other countries on weapons to ship. And this is being reported, folks, by BBC Latin America as well as CBS and all of the major networks. Or what, anything else?
The other night I listened to when y'all had Brother Samuel on there, Marcus Samuel. And there was something that he said regarding a program back in February with Steve Quayle and Greg Evanson. I think it was on the 24th that y'all had Greg on. And I went back and listened to it, and I found that very interesting. And I really appreciate the focus that you guys have on it being, knowing that it's a spiritual battle. It's not a battle against flesh and blood that we're fighting in this day and age.
Right on, man. As Steve Quayle says, there are no political solutions to spiritual problems. I think we're seeing that more and more today. I really do. I mean, how else can we explain what's taking place? Caller, thank you so very much for your call. I'll tell you, we really appreciate that. And thanks for mentioning that North Korean situation. You know what? It is going to come up, and I think we have to pay attention to what's taking place. When you've got a North Korean ship from Cuba carrying a missile system, missile parts, missile system, whatever you want to call it, through the Panama Canal or attempting to go through the Panama Canal. Yeah, what is Obama going to do? What is this administration going to do? I think that's an important part of part of this.
Have a great caller. Thanks for sharing with us.
And thank you for the time.
Sorry to cut you off there. We're going to go back and try area code 304 one more time. 304, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
You got me again, guys.
There we go. Last time we weren't getting anything.
Are you and your Hagman? I got to ask you this. Are you and your Hagman verbal talking position now, you know? Never mind. Go ahead, caller. What's on your mind tonight?
I like that last caller. I mean, that's kind of what I talked about a little earlier. I mean, there's so much things going on, and we're just being muddied. Information is being muddied, and they don't want people to know the truth at all. And it's so hard to get news out of the Middle East right now. And the great big huge I mean, I think it's the biggest there in Siberia with the Russians. They're putting on a show, you know, for themselves and for everybody else too.
Russia yes, we are going to end up, I think, caller, we're going to end up, as I said before, facing off with Russia in the end. The end game is we are being set up to really usher in this third world war, and I believe that this is not receiving any coverage. And like that one caller, the earlier caller stated, when you mention this to people, they look at you like, what are you talking about? We're so far removed from the truth, from what's really taking place. Are we not?
Yes, we are. And that's, and if it wasn't for the alternative media, and I do believe this, we wouldn't, you wouldn't have the news stories coming out on the regular media. But I do believe, like Joe, you were saying earlier with another caller, and I think that the alternative media is forcing the regular media to at least come clean about something, because there's just too much information out there. They can't, you know, they want to stop it. You know that as well as I do. They want to shut it down.
That's what they do. They do. And you know what, Paul, I do hope that we, the alternative media, or actually I would call us the media, period, and the network media, the alternative media in this case. But I really hope that we have played a small role, if not some significant role, in slowing the process down. I mean, they're still going headlong. When I say they, I'm talking about the power brokers, into a third world war, but hopefully we've slowed them down sufficiently. We've thrown a monkey wrench into their plans, a fly into their ointment, and that in turn has given other people a chance to maybe rethink their life positions.
Well,
you know,
I like,
I mean,
the one Jewish brother. Yeah, I liked what he had to say there at the very end. It's not going to be the way they think it's going to be. I'm sorry, they just don't have that much control over everybody.
Somebody said this, and well, I think it's Josh Tully. It's like, how many billions of us versus how many thousands of them? You know, them meaning the people that actually have the power. And I think we have them outnumbered. Now it's just a matter of getting us together and getting us going. And this is so important.
There's a few passages in the book of Daniel and Revelation, but Daniel's the one I look at, and there's going to be opposition to the Antichrist all the way through. There is going to be a group of people that are going to give him fits all the way through to the end. Now, I don't know where that comes from. I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know how it's going to be. I just know that it's biblical and it's going to happen. They are not going to have total control over everybody on the whole planet. Not going to happen.
And caller, I hope and I pray that we, the Hagman and the Hagman Report, plays a big part in that, giving them fits, because that's what we want to do. We want to be the fly in their ointment.
Yes, and I'm glad you guys are there. And God bless you guys.
God bless you, too. Thanks for the call. You have a great night. And, no, the governments of the world hopefully won't have a established order that takes over every human being, but we know something will. The Bible states it very clearly. And is that time now? That's what you need to be asking the Lord in your prayers, because we really don't know. And to sit here and to look at the signs that were given about what the time would be, when these things would come, and to look at the world today, it gets pretty dicey and pretty interesting.
And folks, there's one other caller, too, before we move on here. One other caller had said mentioned about the articles. And before the articles, I want to thank that caller for recognizing the research that we do. We're not a news aggregation site or an aggregator, news aggregator. In other words, we create the articles based on our research, investigation, and information from inside sources and what have you. And what we like people to do, if they are so inclined, is to take them and share them among their social networking, you know, among peers on the social networks, because this is how we are able to get the word out. When we see, for example, if an article written on Canada Free Press or HomelandSecurityUS.com and now Hagman and Hagman.com, look, this is how we are getting the word out to people that otherwise would not get it, is the social networking site. So spread the word. We really appreciate that. It's not for the notoriety, because most of the notoriety is unpleasant. It is to get the word out, and I just want to reaffirm that. Joe?
All right, a little surprise. Slow mute button there. Yeah.
I took you by surprise. I saw that.
Area code, we're 305. We're coming to you. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello. I'm responding and following up on a call that you had about Russian Orthodox Church getting very powerful in Russia. Are you aware that Vladimir Putin signed into law in January that every school in Russia will have mandatory Christian education in September?
And you know why that is, caller? Why is that, caller? I mean, seriously, why is Russia taking that role as opposed to the United States?
Well, I don't know. But in addition, well, this has been going on in Russian schools for some time now, but it hasn't been mandated in every school. But this was mandated by a law in January that when students go back to school in September, they will have to take Christian education courses. They can opt out, but I understand that in the past, very few people have opted out. The other thing I want to mention is that the Orthodox Church has become so powerful that before a law is presented for passage by their Duma, which is their Congress, it is reviewed by the Orthodox clergy to make sure there is nothing offensive to God in it, which is quite something, I feel.
Now,
yes.
are you Russian Orthodox, or how do you know
yes,
this?
Yes, my son is a Russian Orthodox priest. The other thing is that the Russian Orthodox Church has declared that homosexuality is evil and is a perversion, and therefore they have legislated against homosexual activity. If any homosexual tries to indoctrinate a minor, there are severe penalties. I think $16,000 fine was mentioned. And there are no more gay pride marches allowed. It's outlawed. What I don't understand on your program, there are many ministers who come on, but this is never mentioned. And I don't hear it mentioned in any of the talk shows. Until today, somebody did bring it up.
Well, and you're reinforcing this. And thank you for doing that, by the way. And you're correct. We should be a little more proactive in terms of the positive. Okay. Now, some might look at that and say, but you know what? Isn't that the establishment of a state religion? Couldn't they have just as well picked Islam? And I believe truly they picked Christianity because the encroachment of Islam in Russia and this is why they did this. But ultimately, I think their goal is here. Is it to knock Islam out of Russia?
I don't know, but the present patriarch has said that Vladimir Putin is God's gift to the Orthodox Church. And somebody there on some website said that Vladimir Putin is like a Christian king leading his people to Christ. He attends church frequently. He kisses the icons around the church. He crosses himself, and he wears a cross on him at all times.
Interesting. Okay. Well, this is the thing that, again, now we have to balance out the showmanship aspect of things and the ulterior motives with the actual heart of the man. We don't know the heart of Vladimir Putin necessarily.
No, I don't know if he's good or not, but I'm just telling you that this is in front of the people. He's acknowledging that there is a superior being that he recognizes, and so this is influencing other people throughout the country to better morals, to better, to church attendance, to Christian education in schools and all that. To me, this is not a bad thing. What they want to do is to return, because the Russian Orthodox Church was so strong in the Russian culture pre-communism, they want to return it to its rightful place.
Be good, caller. Thank you. Ma'am, thank you so much for providing us with that information. We're going to be putting out some information about this because I think it's important for people to recognize what is taking place, our abandonment of our moral fabric, our Christian Judeo-Christian heritage, and, of course, Russia taking up. And who knows? We might have
after 20 years, only 20 years, they were communist, and now they made a right about turn. And here it seems like we're making the opposite turn. But if more people in this country knew that in Russia the children had to take Bibles to school, and here they're persecuted for taking Bibles to school, I think there might be more outcry. But no one ever talks of it. Nobody reveals this in the media. So we think, well, everybody's doing this. But Russia probably today has the biggest Christian outreach than anybody.
Right. Very, very good. Right. Caller, I want to thank you so much for your call. And I want to say God bless you. We're going to fit one more call in, but thank you for the information which you have imparted to us tonight. Very interesting stuff.
Gives me something to do some research on. God bless you.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Moving right along here, we're going to try and go back to our 856 caller who had a bad connection earlier. Let's see if it's cleared up. 856, you're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
How you doing, Doug and Joe? Can you guys hear me better this time?
Much better.
Okay, great. I was calling in regards to the story that you had mentioned earlier about the mandatory blood HIV testing.
Yes.
And, I follow the news pretty much daily, and I see things just progressing on a daily basis, such an attempt to squash our freedoms and to just hold us down in basically every avenue that they can. And one of the other things that came to my attention recently was this constitution-free zones that they've established from, I guess, the ocean to 100 miles inland.
Oh, yeah, Yeah, folks, if you haven't heard about it, it's 100 miles from the coastline inland all across the borders of the United States, whether 100 miles from the Canadian border, 100 miles from the Mexican border, in both oceans, constitutional free zones. The feds, the authorities can look through your belongings. They can violate rights of person and property. That's your absolutely correct.
And take any electronic data off anything that is electronic that holds data.
And coincidentally, caller, that's where I think the 68 or 82% of the population resides.
That's correct.
And the statement that I wanted to make is that the Constitution is not what gives us our rights. The Bill of Rights is not what gives us our rights. You know, it states clearly in there that these rights are endowed to us by our Creator. And in this world that we live in, which is basically, it's like a mirage of lies, deception, deceit, and fraud. And the powers that be, or our government, whatever you want to call them, they want to convince you to relinquish your rights. But because these rights are God-given, they can't take them from you. You can only surrender them. So I just wanted to kind of make that statement and encourage everyone to realize that, you know, you have the right to say no to these oppressive regime that has taken over our country.
You are so right. And I was, caller, let me just say this. I wrote an article one time, I don't know, this was a year or two ago, maybe it was longer than that, and I had made the mistake of writing in there the rights bestowed upon us by our Constitution or Bill of Rights. And I'll tell you something, I got a flood of emails, and rightfully so, correcting me, saying, no. Just as you said, those rights were bestowed upon us by our Creator. They're delineated in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, but they come from God. How right you are.
I don't have a comment on this, but tomorrow we'll pick up right where we left off with this. But yeah, go ahead, caller.
Oh, okay. Well, the other thing that I wanted to talk about real quick, I know we're running out of time. The caller that you had on prior to the last break, the statement that I want to make is that, you know, as Christians, you know, we need to have faith in God. And fear is the exact opposite of faith. And fear is, it's spirits that are there to oppress you and to beat you down. And, you know, it's important to realize that when you feel fear or anxiety or depression or any of these types of things, these oppressive spirits coming on you, to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible says that if we resist the devil, then he will flee from us. And, you know, just to have faith and to not give in to this spirit of fear. The Bible says that we are not given to a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And, you know, if I was rebuking the spirits, I would also add that quote from the Word of God in there, and they will definitely flee from you.
Amen. And how strong of a quote or a statement is. And you bring up a very important point, caller. I really appreciate that. Because we can take power and dominion over those oppressors, shall we say. And fear, that's one thing too, caller. We certainly don't want to spread fear. We want to provide facts. And sometimes the facts do cultivate an environment or a feeling of fear. But we certainly don't want to scare people I don't know how else to say it, or to cause people to fear, you know.
Right.
We want to provide
people,
the
other. That's also to themselves.
What I would say to that, Doug, is that, you know, the Bible says, you know, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And what you guys are doing here on a nightly basis and giving so much to spread the truth, and, you know, and I really appreciate it. I listen to you guys every night. This is the first time that I've called. But even if the truth is scary sometimes or a hard pill to swallow, I would much rather know the truth, you know, because in a world of lies and deception, deceit and fraud, now, obviously, Satan is the little g god of this world, and he is the father of all lies. When you find the truth, it's as if you found a precious jewel or a nugget of gold, you know?
Indeed, caller, and we've got to cut you loose because we're up against the end of the program, but God bless you, and thank you so much for your call. Thanks for calling in for the first time.
All right, God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Good night. And that was a great show with callers tonight, Joe.
Yes, it was. Tomorrow we're going to be joined in the second and third hour by author Nolene Fitch.
Nolene Fitch. A Fight for Innocence is what she wrote. And it's about, it's a touchy subject. It's about oppression and abuse of children and of adults. But it's something necessary to talk about, especially in this environment. With that, I just want to say, great show tonight, Joe. God bless you, man. I appreciate you being here. And all the callers, thank you so very much. All the listeners, God bless you. All the supporters, thank you so much.
You guys have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless each and every one of you, and stay safe.